Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Listen with Other, because grown-ups need story time too. The Mind Children by Giles Booth. Episode 3, Framed. I didn't do it. Nobody believed Jack Widcombe most of the time. They certainly didn't believe him when a valuable old painting, recently reported stolen from Lytton Manor, turned up in his shed. Constable Rees sighed. You're going to have to come with me to the station, Jack.
You got to believe me. Why would I nick a thing like that?
For the money?
I wouldn't know what to do with it.
You knew what to do with those car radios.
That was car radios. You can sell those down a pub. You can't sell priceless paintings down a Dog and Duck.
How do you know it's priceless?
Saw it in a paper.
Come along now.
Dust it. You won't find my dabs anywhere near it. I never touched it before in my life.
Oh, yes.
You know how I do odd jobs for Sir Arthur and Lady Lytton up at the manor?
Yes, which means you know the layout of the house, their comings and goings.
Well, Sir Arthur, he got me to take the picture down and pack it up. Said it was going off for cleaning.
So we will find your fingerprints on it.
Yes, but don't you see? I've been set up. He set me up. I've been framed.
Welcome to episode 3 of Tea Time TV Retro Machine, where this week we're looking at episode 3 of The Mind Children, the very lost 1979 children's TV drama. So you heard an extract there from the third story in the TV tie-in novelisation. Shall we talk a bit about the story?
Yeah, another odd one this. I mean, they're all odd, but it feels like another strange topic for a kids' TV show.
Local odd job man gets framed for a crime he didn't commit by the lord of the manor who was about to get exposed for an insurance scam.
That's right, Sir Arthur Lytton's terribly hard up, unable to maintain the manor house and keep Lady Lytton in the manner to which she had become accustomed. So he stages a robbery and puts a claim in on the insurance for 3 pictures. Then, when the insurance investigator comes snooping around, I think he was played by David Horowitz, Sir Arthur panics and decides to plant one of the pictures on poor Jack Widcombe in his shed. And he phones the police to tip them off. It sounds more like a cosy crime drama, except instead of Miss Marple, we get
The Mind Children.
And that's what anchors us very much in the world of children's TV. It's the mind children who sense that a young person is being exploited by the older generation.
An older generation which we suspect by this point will be first up against the wall when the day of alien colonisation begins.
Let's hear another extract from the story, one with the mind children in it.
That reminds me. You'll find a lot of extras on the Tea Time TV Retro Machine Patreon, including exclusive scans of the Mind Children book. OK, are you sitting comfortably, Bob?
Very.
Then I'll begin.
Lady Lytton came in from the garden with a basket of flowers she'd cut for the church. "Arthur, those frightful children from the village are on the lawn again."
"Where? I'll shoot the blighters."
"I don't think even you're allowed to do that. Not these days."
"Bally comprehensive system. They all need a good dose of corporal punishment. That would sort them out."
Sir Arthur Lytton looked out of the window, but couldn't see anyone. "I suppose it never did you any harm, dear."
"Exactly."
"Remember, you've got that reporter from the local paper coming any minute."
"Are you sure this is a good idea, Marjorie?"
"Yes, it adds credence to our story. It'll get us sympathy. Photographs of us pointing at the sad gap where the picture of great Aunt Constance used to hang." There was a knock at the door.
"You better show him in then."
But the him was a her. Catherine Street was a young, new reporter, and as she was ushered into the drawing room, little did she know that the scoop that would make her name was about to land in her lap. "So you can see the gaps here. The room just feels so empty without the paintings," said Lady Lytton.
"They were Marjorie's ancestors, you see," chipped in Sir Arthur.
Sir Arthur's money was new and of obscure origin and didn't have any ancestors of his own who'd been important enough to be painted. Not that you'd know that from the way he acted.
"You might like to take some pictures."
"Oh, I don't have our snapper with me today. He's covering a church fete in Hampton Parva. We can send him round tomorrow, though."
Humph, Sir Arthur.
The Mind children found it almost funny that they'd been confused for ordinary village kids. They almost melted into the fabric of Lytton Manor as they pressed themselves with their backs to the warm, honey-coloured stone and the cool green ivy. They tuned their minds into the alpha wavelengths of Sir Arthur Lytton's brain. Catherine Street got out her shorthand notebook.
"So, a few questions, set the scene."
"Yes, of course.
Tea, dear?"
asked Lady Lytton.
"No, thank you. Won't take long."
"So, when did you first notice the pictures were missing?" Matthew, Mark and Luke focused their brain energies into a single beam of thought, penetrating Sir Arthur's skull. Their eyes flashed blue and green as they nodded their heads in unison. Sir Arthur began to sweat.
"Are you all right, dear? You look a little pale."
"I'm fine, Marjorie. Nothing wrong with me. Just need a bit of fresh air."
He opened a small pane of glass and looked out, oblivious to the presence of the Mind children either side of the window. He sat down again.
"Well, that's the funniest thing."
"What?"
"First time I really noticed they were gone, that was when it hit me."
"Yes?"
"It hit me that I'd done a terribly foolish thing, hiding the pictures in the loft to make an insurance claim."
Lady Lytton dropped her basket of flowers. Blooms spilled all over the rug.
"I'm sorry?"
"Yes, that's when it hit me. The insurance man was coming, so I decided to plant one of the pictures in Jack Wickham's shed and called the local constabulary to tip them off. I even used a phone box in the village."
Catherine Street stopped scribbling her shorthand. Her mouth was wide open. She could not believe what she was hearing.
"Look, dear, Sir Arthur's obviously not feeling well. This is all a fever dream. Why don't we regather another day?"
"No, Marjorie, this is all true. I want to confess. An innocent man is going to be prosecuted for a crime he did not commit."
The Mind children turned and looked at each other and smiled. Another bastion of the older generation had fallen, and soon the youth of England would be in charge, ready for the day of communion. makes you wonder.
What?
Episode 6. What was in it?
I'd settle for knowing what was in episode 4.
Yeah, but it does seem to be leading up to this invasion and removal of the old authority figures. It's very tempting to believe that's what happened in the final episode.
Or maybe Damon Allen, possibly not his real name, wanted to spin it out. I suspect the invasion didn't happen at all in this series. I guess we'll never know. But we do know a few more things. How's your digging been going, Dave?
I have exciting news. We've been contacted by a relative of Damon Allen.
Woo!
Now, she doesn't want to give her name, or indeed Damon Allen's real name, but we now know it was an alias, a nom de plume.
Exactamundo, Roberto. A nom de plume, or perhaps a nom de guerre.
Tell me more.
Our contact has a theory that Damon Allen was, in fact, murdered.
Well, now we really do need Miss Marple.
Well, you've got me instead. Although I have to say I fancy myself as more a kind of Albert Campion than a Miss Marple. So anyway, I hopped in the old Lagonda and tootled off down to deeper Somerset to talk to her.
You drive a clapped out BMW 3 Series, Dave, not a Lagonda.
Tired of CRMs and VPNs in a crowded marketplace? We certainly were. That's why we ousted our CEO and pivoted to the most exciting sector in tech, apparel. That's right. Visit flangeapparel.biz for the best in modern clothing. Leisure wear, not software. Flange is the future of now.
Sure you're okay with me recording this?
Recording, yes, but I'd like to hear the final edit, if that's okay, before it goes out.
Sure, can't promise to make changes, mind, but I'll let you hear it.
Thanks. And no names.
No names.
So we're here at an undisclosed location somewhere in Somerset with someone who'd like to remain anonymous, but who is the great niece of Damon Allen, although I can reveal that was not his real name. We're in a house that's been cleared, and which contains what little remains of his archive. Now, last time we spoke on the phone, you dropped a bit of a bombshell. You said you thought he was murdered. Can I ask you what makes you think that? And how did he even die?
We don't know. He disappeared in late 1979. My parents say the assumption was that he was depressed by the series getting bad reviews and then being cut short by the ITV strike.
Well, that makes sense, but I didn't know he'd literally disappeared.
Yes, he did. He just vanished into thin air.
You don't think there's any chance he's still alive somewhere?
No. No, I don't.
Did he leave a note?
No. And he was a writer. And I really think he would have left a note if he'd taken his own life.
But why murder rather than, say, an accident?
Let me show you some papers. Be careful. It looks a mess, but they're all in date order. So we're looking at the contents of a small leather suitcase. What have we got here?
No scripts, I'm afraid. At least not of the mind children. They're mostly notes and ideas for other stories. There's a draft of a novel about a boarding school.
Is it anything like episode 2?
I've not read it.
You've not read his manuscript?
No, no, I've read that. I've not read The Mind Children. I've never seen it either, of course.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I could have brought my copy of the book with me.
Don't worry. I have been listening to your podcast, though.
Any similarities?
I don't think so. The novel's a kind of comedy about a naive young teacher.
So why do you think he was murdered?
Look at these letters.
What are these?
Letters from his publisher responding to his requests to withdraw the Mind Children book.
Yeah, but we know about that.
Look at the date.
1st of August 1979. Oh, that's before the ITV strike started. That's even before episode 3 was broadcast.
Exactly. So at the very least, that blows apart the theory that the ITV strike caused him to kill the whole project.
That's still a long way from murder.
I think someone had got to him. There's a letter from HTV around the same time. He'd evidently asked for the series to be pulled and the tapes destroyed.
Show me. Oh My God, dated 2nd of August 1979, but they're refusing.
But we know the tapes were wiped or hidden and the book was eventually withdrawn. Someone had an interest in killing the Mind Children. But who?
Look at the next bundle. The newspaper cuttings. Careful, they're fragile. What am I looking for?
Look at the top one.
Somerset cellophane cleared of polluting local rivers. That factory was nowhere near Stanton Mulltravers, though.
It wasn't that far away. And who was the boss?
Oh, yeah, that rings a bell now. Did he live in Stanton Mulltravers?
Yes, he did, in Tunnel House, by the railway tunnel.
So, you think Damon Allen, your great uncle, was suggesting the factory really was guilty of pollution?
Yes, I do. I thought it was coincidence at first, but he kept this cutting, and then this episode two.
About the school?
Yes, look at this.
My goodness, a lot of cuttings about the headmaster of Mendip College. That's a minor public school not far away from Stanton Mulltravers. It's a bit reminiscent of Cabot College, the school in episode two. These cuttings, they all look innocuous though. Speech day, visit by the Duke and Duchess of Kent.
Too innocuous, if you ask me. Look at this.
What's that?
The letter from the Board of Governors of Mendip College, refusing to investigate my great uncle's complaints against the headmaster.
Wow. I mean, wow. So, do you know what episode three was about?
Was it, by any chance, about an art theft?
Yes. How did you know? Look at this cutting. Local unemployed man Steve Baker convicted of stealing Old Master. That's incredible. This is the story in episode three. A local lad is framed for stealing a painting from the manor house. In fact, the lord of the manor needed the money and pretended it had been nicked, and then he pinned it on a handyman and when it looked like they'd get found out. So all three stories were true.
Or at least my great uncle thought they were, or he was using the Mind Children to settle some scores.
This is just incredible. I can't wait to put this on the pod. What's the latest date on anything here?
4th of August. There's another letter from HTV refusing to pull the series. This one's from the head of drama, asking him to think of the young actors and the poor guy who wrote the music, saying they'll lose their royalties and their repeat fees.
And there was no trace of him after this?
None. My dad's hazy on the dates. He was quite young himself then, but he's adamant it all happened because of the strike.
Very convenient if he was bumped off by a conspiracy of the local great and good.
Very.
And there's nothing else?
No.
Where was the suitcase, if you don't mind me asking?
In the loft.
Do you mind if I go and have a look? Just in case.
If you want. I don't like going up there. It's not been boarded out properly and there's no light. Gives me the creeps.
Can you see anything?
My phone torch isn't strong enough. Got anything else?
Yes, wait a moment. There's a proper torch in the garage.
Don't be long. It's giving me the creeps now.
I won't. I think I can see something. A plastic bag.
Here you go.
That's better. Oh my, a key markers bag. 163 knockdown prices every day. Bob and I used to carry our schoolwork around in these. They were made of a funny kind of plastic you could write on easily with a biro. Let me see if I can reach it.
Be careful. Like I say, it's not boarded out.
Oh.
What happened?
I think something went through the ceiling.
Shit.
What is it?
Hang on, I'm coming. Look, I'll pay to get your ceiling replastered. They've landed on the bed. They're grey plastic boxes.
These are videotapes.
They're huge. Is this what you boomers used to use?
Gen X, thank you very much. No, these aren't home videos. These aren't your VHSs or your Betamaxes. These are U-matics. Have you got something to wipe the dust off?
Just use the bedding. This room's trashed now anyway.
Review copy. Not for sale or distribution. Property of HTV Limited, Bath Road, Bristol. The Mind Children. Episode 4. the death of the author. That was the third and possibly final part of The Mind Children, written, read and mixed by Giles Booth, with original music by Lee Sperry. The Mind Children might just return if you'd like it to. Why not let me know by adding reviews on Apple Podcasts or dropping a line to blog my wiki on Blue Sky. Listen with Other is a GSB Radio Enterprises production.